الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي اللهم افتح علينا حكمتك وانشر علينا رحمتك يا ذا الجلال والإكرام Oh Allah Azza wa Jal, open the doors of knowledge and wisdom for us. Have mercy on us, O the one who is the most honorable, the most gracious. بلغ العلا بكماله كشف الدجا بجماله حسنت جميع خصاله صلوا عليه وآله الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله We thank Allah Azza wa Jalla who is our sustainer, provider, cherisher and nourisher. The master of the day of judgment, the owner, initiator and creator of everything that exists. We send peace and blessings upon Nabi Kareem, Raufur Rahim. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam upon his illustrious family and noble companions alayhi muridwan. Welcome dear viewers for those who are watching the early echo program on your Madani channel. Alhamdulillah, in today's episode and program we are going to be speaking about questions posed to His Eminence Amir Ahl Sunnat Hazrat Allama Maulana Abu Bilal Muhammad Ilyas Attar Qadri Radhavi Damat Barakatuhum Al-Aliyah. Let's listen to the virtues and blessings of Durood Pak, the Prophet of Rahmah, the intercessor of the Ummah, the owner of Jannah, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallama has mentioned, Zayyinu Majalisakum Bis Salati Alayya Fa Inna Salatakum Alayya Nurul Lakum Yawm Al-Qiyamah. That adorn your gatherings by reciting durood upon me, for the durood which you recite upon me shall be noor for you on the day of judgment. Allahu Akbar. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. The lesson that we learn here, dear viewers, is any gathering, any get-together, family gathering, friends gathering, relative gatherings, whenever you are in a get-together with people, form the habit to adorn your mahfil, your get-togethers, your congregations by reciting durood. Start your programs by the recitation of salawat ala nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and when you end your gatherings also do so. Inshallah azawajal, you will find so many blessings because of reciting durood. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Inshallah azawajal, we have a kalam a nati rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam of sayyidi ala hazrat imam ahmad rida khan Fazile Barilvi Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali. Pay attention to the ash'ar, to the couplets of this beautiful kalam. And when we do return, questions concerning women posed to Amir Ahl Sunnat is our discussion and topic for this morning. Stay tuned with Madani channel. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Pul se utaro raah guzar ko khabar na ho Jibril par bichhaye to par ko khabar na ho
O Prophet of Allah Alayhi salatu wassalam. Let us pass over the bridge of Sirat without the path even realizing it. As Jibreel alayhi salam spreads out his wings without his wings even realizing it.
Jibreel par bichhaye to par ko khabar na ho kaanta mere jigar se ghame نگار کا یوں کھینچ لیجیے کہ جگر کو خبر نہ ہو,
خبر نہ ہو. Worries of livelihood have been thrown in my side. Pull this thorn out of my heart without my heart even realizing it.
Jibril par bichhaye to par ko khabar na ho.
Fariyaad ummati jo kare haale zaar mein. زار میں ممکن نہیں کہ خیر بشر کو خبر نہ ہو,
خبر نہ ہو.
When an individual from his ummah calls upon a need, it is impossible that the best of creation, alayhi salatu wassalam, remains unaware of the plead.
Jibril par bichhaye to par ko khabar na ho.
Aisa guma de unki vila
خبر کو خبر نہ ہو,
خبر نہ ہو. May Allah make us lost in the love of His beloved alayhi salatu wassalam to the extent that our conscience serves for itself but unable to find it.
Jibril par bichhaye to par ko khabar na ho.
Unke siwa raza koi haami nahi jaha. Unke siwa raza koi haami nahi jaha. Guzra kare pe sar pe pedar ko khabar na ho,
khabar na ho.
No one will help except him alayhi salatu wassalam. On the day of reckoning, even father will not aid his son in trouble, trampling.
Jibril par bichhaye to par ko khabar na ho.
Allahu Akbar. Today's episode and our topic today is mainly regarding questions posed to His Eminence. These are some very relevant questions that were asked to His Eminence. And I thought, inshallah, we'd share this with the viewers of Madani channel and we could increase our general knowledge as well. Inshallah, Azzawajal, you know, with good intentions, watch this program and for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, pass this to others as well. We are going to be going to the first question for this morning. And subhanallah, a questioner had asked, non-mahrams sometimes establish a verbal brother-sister relationship with each other very quickly. If with the intention of rectification, they are told that doing so is not appropriate, they reply, "He is like my son, Allahu Akbar. Or he is like a brother to me." So, is it permissible to establish a brother-sister relationship with non-mahram? The answer to this is, there is no need to make non-mahram a brother or sister. The Noble Quran has already done so. It is stated, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةِ. The Muslims are brothers, meaning to each other. Therefore, every Muslim woman is the sister of a Muslim man. However, because they are non-mahrams, observing the rules of veiling according to Islam is obligatory. Jiha. Even though Islam has classified one another, meaning if you're a Muslim, then every Muslim woman is the sister to every Muslim man. This has been established by the Quran Pak. So, the rules of veiling according to Islam is fard. It is obligatory. Furthermore, even if they begin to refer to each other as brothers and sisters, you know, he is my brother, he is my sister, or I take him to be like a brother, but according to Islam, he is a brother, or you are his sister, there's no doubt about that. But the rules of Sharia will still be there because you are a non-mahram to him. Allahu Akbar. So the rulings of veiling will not change, and the problem will be that they will continue making sinful gazing at each other sins, and many other doors of sins will open. The Quran gives the woman the command that they must not converse with men in soft tones to that extent. Can you imagine, dear viewers of Madini channel, even the Quran has commanded that woman, when they speak to any person, if it is a situation and you gotta be in touch and in conversation with a non-mahram, if the situation is such, then one should not lower his voice, make it more sweet, make it more attractive, make it more attentive, make it more sensitive, and make it more difficult for the opposite person. Allah Azza wa Jalla has mentioned in the Holy Quran, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim,
إِنِتَّقَيْتُنَّ فَلَا تَخْضَعْنَ بِالْقَوْلِ فَيَطْمَعَ الَّذِي فِي قَلْبِهِ مَرَضٌ وَقُلْنَ قَوْلًا مَعْرُوفًا.
If you fear Allah, إِنِتَّقَيْتُنَّ, Allahu Akbar, if you fear Allah Azza wa Jal, do not speak with such softness, least the one in whose heart is a disease. Disease of what? The disease of immorality, Allahu Akbar, has any greed. Because of that greed in his heart, or because of immoralities, he will have greed because of your soft voice. Yes, speak good words. وَقُلْنَا قَوْلًا مَعْرُوفًا. Yes, speak good words. Allahu Akbar. So dear viewers of Madani channel, if a woman has no choice but to speak to a non-mahram, she should speak in a way that there is no softness and attractiveness in her awaz. Rather, her tone should be simple and normal. She should not smile, laugh, or give any encouragement for anyone to fall into any testing situation. So this is a matter of concern throughout the world. Ye dunya bhar mein, sari dunya mein ye virus is waqt phaila hua hai. It is the virus of establishing relationships that leads a person into many other sins and guna. He is like my brother, he is like my mother, and due to that, hugs are given and many other things are exchanged. You know, there's a lot of immoralities, yet the Quran has commanded. So the questioner who asked this question, I hope you have understood the question and make koshish to make amal upon this, inshallah azza wa jal. Islam knows the problem. Islam has the solution to the problem. This solution had been given hundreds and hundreds of years. It's over 1,000 years, 1,400 some odd years, and the solution is there because Allah azza wa jalla knows the fitrah. Allah azza wa jalla knows the nature of man and what he is capable of doing. And these sinnings and these actions and these things have been happening from the time this world came into existence, and it has never got solved unless you follow what Islam has told you to do. That is the only solution to avoid this type of conflict. This is the only solution for every wife to make sure that there's nothing wrong between my sister and my husband. If you take the chance and you take the stand right now and you do what Islam has commanded you to do, your house will be saved, your relationship and your nikah will also be saved. You as well be in parda, you as well observe the Islamic veiling, practice it, teach it to your daughters and to your children. And trust me, dear viewers of Madani Channel, this is the only way out of this. Let's go to the next question. It's going to be a funny one to you maybe, but this is the truth. There are people out there in the world who perhaps keep such names. So a question I had asked, what is the ruling on naming a girl Ajwa? Answer, Ajwa is the name of the best type of khajur of dates from Madinatul Munawwara. And in fact, in the whole world, I mean, Ajwa is the best dates from amongst all the dates from Madinatul Munawwara. In fact, in the whole world, you would never find this type of date. Sari dunya mein. It's only found in Madinatul Munawwara. Furthermore, there is no problem in keeping the name because of its link. So, Ajwa is the name of Khajur, and because this Khajur's name is Ajwa and it has link to Madinatul Munawwara, therefore we are allowed to keep this name. If you did not know this before, this is the answer that you can keep the name Ajwa. Allahu Akbar. Can the husband and wife use each another's gifts? Do the husband and wife have right over the gifts that they both receive at the time of marriage? Or does each gift belong only to the one who is given it to? The one who has been given that gift. Does it mean that? Answer. Whoever has been given the gift is the owner of it. On whose name the gift came, of course, he is the owner of it. And this is Fatawa-e Hindiya. That item cannot be used by the other without gaining permission from the first owner. So if it belongs to the wife, the husband cannot make use of it. If it belongs to the husband, then the wife cannot make use of it unless she obtains ijazah and permission, because it is a tuhfa, it is a gift. So out of their own happiness, if they wish to give it to each other, then they can do so. If it's they wish that whatever is mine is mine, whatever is yours, and we can both can share from day one. This has been established, and he has given full and open, clear indication and information with regards to his items which have been given to him, then you have open invitation to handle that as you wish to. Let's go further, alhamdulillah. This is something very relevant, right? I really appreciated this question. I suspect my wife a lot, the questioner had asked. But I have no evidence. Please provide a solution for this. Question came via SMS. Amir al-Sunnat receives questions via emails, via SMSs, via WhatsApp, via other social media. He sits in the Madani Mudhakira and answers hundreds of questions, telephonic questions, questions that are written in letters and posed to him. Allahu Akbar. So yes, dear viewers, this was one of the questions that came to him. And then Amir-e Ahl-e Sunnat had given this answer. He says, if the suspicion is to the extent of negative assumptions and is expressed to others, it is also expressed to others, then repenting is farz upon that person. Fatawa-e Rizviya Sharif. Allah says, if this suspicion that your wife is cheating behind you, she is doing wrong behind you, is to the extent of negative assumptions that now, even if she is not doing it, you felt she has done it. And it is expressed to others that now you even started telling this to others when she is not doing it, but you feel that she is doing it. Repenting from this is fard on that person. Number two, negative assumptions are the backbiting of the heart. In Ahya'ul Ulum, Hazrat Allama Maulana Muhammad bin Muhammad bin Muhammad Ghazali rahmatullahi ta'ala has stated, negative assumptions are the backbiting of the heart. If only a suspicion arises and the person continues to ward it off, that chalo theek hai, I don't think it's true, it came, maybe she did that, but maybe she never did it too. Just saying, if this is the situation, then there is no sin upon him. Saving oneself from negative assumptions is necessary, as it is mentioned in a hadith of the Holy Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam, that you should never think negative, never assume things
Don't assume and have these assumptions which are baseless, because in the hadith of the Holy Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet has mentioned, to harbor good opinions is from excellent worship. Allahu Akbar. Look at the teachings of Islam. To harbor good opinions is from excellent worship. And the Quran has warned us. Before this, the Quran has warned us. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Ya ayyuhan nas, inna khalaqnakum min dhakarin wa untha wa ja'allakum shu'uban wa qabaila lita'arafu. Inna akramakum indallahi atqakum. Allah Azza wa Jalla has mentioned, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu ijtanibu kathiran min adh-dhann. Inna ba'da adh-dhanni ithmun wa la tajassasu wa la yaghtab ba'dukum ba'da. Allahu Akbar. أَيُحِبُّ أَحَدُكُمْ أَنْ يَأْكُلَ لَحْمَ أَخِيهِ مَيْتًا فَكَرِهْتُمُوهُ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ. Allah Azza wa Jalla has warned us in the Holy Quran Park, O you who believe, do not backbite to one another. We should not assume excessively, because many assumptions would lead a person to sins. إِنَّ بَعْدَ الظَّنِّ, that some assumptions would lead a person to gunah and sins. And this is exactly what happens in relationships when a husband doubts his wife or the wife doubts her husband, vice versa. Therefore, we must think positively. It is compulsory. In fact, Ala Hazrat Imam Ahmad Ridha Khan rahmatullahi ta'ala states, it is necessary to interpret the matter of a believer in a good way. He says, in other words, one should not apply a negative, sinful interpretation to the matter of a Muslim. Any matter regarding a Muslim, try to have a positive thought. Rather, it is vital to search for a positive interpretation than to adopt the evil one. Amir al-Sunnah then says, think about it for a moment. Sayyiduna Isa Ruhullah alayhi salatu wassalam, a Nabi of Allah Azza wa Jalla, he caught a person stealing. I'm talking about that Nabi who, according to the Holy Quran, would tell the children what they have eaten, what they have saved in their homes for tomorrow. According to the Holy Quran, we are talking about that Isa Ruhullah alayhi salatu wasalam, that once woman lied to him about the children being playing somewhere outside, whereas they had hid their kids in a room because they did not want their children to associate with Isa alayhi salam. And he said, oh, okay, if there are pigs in the room, then there will be pigs in the room. Because when he asked, where are the kids? The woman folk said, they are playing somewhere. And then he asked, and who's in the room? And then the woman said that there are pigs in the room. There's no human beings there. And he said, if there are pigs, so there will be pigs. And when the door was opened, all those children transformed into little pigs. These are the words that leave the tongue of a Nabi. How powerful it is. How quick the du'as and the words that leave the tongue are accepted. According to the tafaseer of the Holy Quran, you would find these stories and parables. We are talking about that Isa Ruhullah, he caught a person stealing. If he could see what you're going to eat tomorrow, he had seen this person stealing. And this person then denied and said, I never steal. And then he says, by Allah, I never steal. Allahu Akbar. When he taken an oath, he said, I swear by Allah, I did not steal. So the fear of Allah Azza wa Jalla taken Hazrat Sayyidina Isa Ruhullah alayhi salatu wassalam, who then said, my eyes have been deceived. My eyes have been deceived. Sahih al-Bukhari ki ye hadith, dear viewers. Isa alayhi salam seen a person stealing openly, but then said, when he taken the oath of Allah, when he said, Qasam Khuda ki maine ye kaam nahi kiya, he immediately believed him because he was overtaken by the name of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Likewise, when Shaitan also approached Adam alayhi salatu wasalam in Jannah, Allahu Akbar, when he enticed Bibi Hawa radiallahu ta'ala anha, Allahu Akbar, you will find in the tafaseer of the Holy Quran Park, he also lied to Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. He also lied to Sayyidatuna Hawa radiyallahu anha by taking false oath on Allah Azza wa Jalla. Dear viewers of Madani channel, Qasam, the name of Allah Azza wa Jalla is sufficient for a person to believe. It should take a believer aback when he hears the name of Allah Azza wa Jalla. All evil assumptions should be immediately thrown aside. immediately waved off the name the moment the name of your Rabb and your Creator has been taken. Least he will be a sinner, but you will get thawab for observing sabr and patience. So Amir Ahl Sunnah then says that he was also involved in a situation where he had to counsel a couple, a Islamic brother who suspected his wife. And Amir Ahl Sunnah, you know, consistently reminded him that what he's doing isn't right, because he's got no evidence of that, and he continued to insist that he cannot take it anymore. And one day finally he given her 3 talaq. Amir Ahl Sunnah says, and then she was given divorce under assumptions when there was no any solid proof. She continued saying to her husband, I have not done anything wrong. But then when the wife opens the door and she goes into the balcony and she sees outside, no, there's a person watching you. Perhaps you are being watched by somebody. Suspect. You're on the phone. There's a message that came. Who are you chatting to? Who are you talking to all the time? But it is wrong. There are goods and there are bads. There are rights and wrongs in this as well, right? It's all upon the approach. It's all about how do you choose to solve this type of matter. It is not a joke. It is not a simple one. Many homes have been broken, whether they have been married for 25, 30 years. Marriages of that nature have also been broken because of assumptions. So she took long to come back from work. She was supposed to be at a certain place, and then she ended up at a certain place. Why were you found there? And the first thought that comes to the mind of a man is that she is going to cheat behind my back, and she is going to do wrong. And based on this assumption, they would separate. Now, let me present to you what Amir Ahl Sunnah says. He says, a narration comes to mind, the summary of which is as follows. Now, listen to the summary which Amir Ahl Sunnah gives. He says, Shaitan places his throne upon a river, and his disciples would then sit around him, and then he would take his class and say, yes, all my disciples, now tell me what was your actions for today. One would say, today I made a person consume alcohol. He would listen to him, and then he would ask the next, what have you done today? I have made a person lie. I made him cheat and lie. And then the third person will be asked, and what did you today? And that shaitan will stand and say, today I made a husband separate from his wife. Upon the shaitan stands and makes his disciples sit next to him on the throne out of honor and says, it is you who has done the best work. It is you who has done the best work. So how happy shaitan gets when couples out there separate. Allahu Akbar. So dear viewers of Madani channel, listen how it all starts. Shaitan desires for a husband and wife to separate. He never ever wants you to be together, you know, fulfilling the rights of husband and wife. He wants you to fall into difficulty, so he will place and instill discord, arguments, fights, quarrels, misunderstanding, miscommunications without any head and no tail. There will be arguments for petty issues, for simple matters. A wife would not know how to approach her husband. The husband will not know how to approach his wife. They will fight over small matters. This is because shayateen, the smaller devils and the bigger devils, have invaded their marriage and they are possessed, or they need to sort themselves spiritually, perhaps maybe to get some guidance and some light. So doors of backbiting will then open when this starts to happen. When shaitan puts this into the hearts of a couple, then the doors of backbiting and assumption and of evil then starts to open. Allahu Akbar. Then slowly, slowly, as time goes, both become bitter enemies of each another. Then this leads to divorce. Allahu Akbar. This leads to separation. Dear viewers of Madani channel, why should we not close all the doors and thoughts and ways and paths of evil? Close those passages where evil will enter into your relationship. Keep this bond stronger. Learn to train your mind not to think in that direction. If it had happened before and she had rectified herself, or he has rectified himself and made intention never to do this again, then why should we not stand together? It's difficult for a man at times and for a woman. But dear viewers of Madani channel, this is how we should basically treat our family. Now we go to the next question, inshallah zawajal. Does divorce occur by thinking about it? Okay, you never issued the talaq verbally, but you thought about giving the talaq. So is the talaq accepted or not accepted?
This is the questioner who had asked this question, and the answer to that is no. Divorce does not occur just by thinking about it. As Ala Hazrat Imam Ahmad Ridha Khan Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali has stated, giving divorce in the heart does not cause it to occur as long as it is not given by the tongue. Fatawa Radhaviyya. Alhamdulillah. You'll find this mas'ala in Fatawa Rizviya Sharif, and Ala Hazrat has made it very clear, dear viewers of Madani channel, and we should make a firm intention to learn the rules and regulations of talaq. This is also, knowledge which is extremely important, because once you are not married, it is a sunnah to get married. And when you do get married, the knowledge of that now is fard upon you to know, because that is rights. It is wajib upon you. You will violate her rights and she will violate your rights if you are unaware of the rights of each another. Allah Azza wa Jalla has mentioned in the Holy Quran Pak, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, وَلَهُنَّ مِثْلُ الَّذِي عَلَيْهِنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. Allahu Akbar. The summary of this ayah, the translation and summary of this verse is that, and women are given similar rights to that of men with accordance to the Islamic law. So dear viewers of Madani channel, this is the time to basically repent from being evil. Amir Aswad even says from time to time, learn to ask for maafi. He even says that on big nights and great occasions, he even tells his wife that he is sorry and he makes muafi. And this is nothing to feel shy about. In fact, we should look for every opportunity that if you have hurt her, you should say you are sorry about it. There's no need to feel like if I ask for muafi, then my status and my dignity will be ruined. It will be tarnished. My ego is always in front of me. For the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal, for the sake of the Holy Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, least what would happen is that due to this one mistake of yours, Allah Azza wa Jalla could punish you for a very long time, maybe perhaps in this world or in the hereafter. We make dua that Allah Azza wa Jalla always keeps us protected from His torment, from His punishment, from His azab. And may Allah Azza wa Jalla always continue to shower His rahmah and His blessings upon us all, dear viewers of Madani channel. Alhamdulillah. Now it's time to move on to the next part of this program. We would listen to a Madani Guldasta. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Dear viewers of Madani channel, today we will learn when did Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam offered his first Jumu'ah prayer. And we would also learn the meaning of the word Jumu'ah. Hazrat Allama Maulana Muhammad Na'imuddin Muradabadi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi has said that when the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam migrated towards Medina, he reached a place called Quba at the time of Chasht on Monday the 12th of Rabiul Awwal. He sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam stayed there for 4 days, and during this stay, he sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam laid the foundation of a masjid. On Friday, he sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam proceeded towards Medina. When they reached the area of Bani Salim ibn Auf, it was time to offer Jumu'ah Salah. The people gathered, and that was the place where Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam first offered his Jumu'ah Salah. Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, the glorious Masjid al-Jumu'ah still exists there. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. The visitors behold the Masjid for attainment of its blessings and offer Nafil Salah over there. The meaning of the word Jumu'ah, the renowned commentator of the Holy Quran, Hakim ul-Ummat Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Na'imi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi has stated, as all the creatures assembled in their beings on this day and the completion of the creation took place on the very same day, clay for Sayyidina Adam ala Nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wassalam was also collected on this day. Similarly, people congregate and perform the Friday Salah on this day. Therefore, it is called Jumu'ah on account of the aforementioned reasons. Before the advent of Islam, the Arabs used to call it Aruba. A renowned commentator of the Holy Quran, Hakim ul-Ummat Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, has stated, "The Rasul of mankind, the peace of our heart and mind, the owner of Jannah, the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam offered almost 500 Jumu'ah Salahs as offering Jumu'ah Salah commenced subsequent to the migration, after which the total period of the apparent life of Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam is 10 years. And there are 500 Fridays in this 10-year period." Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We will continue with our question and answer session, as Amiri Ahle Sunnah had been questioned. You know, questions have been posed from various sources, and then this question comes up: if one is wearing makeup, if one uses makeup and performs wudu, will it be valid? And this question was posed via the social media. So the answer is, if it is such a substance that forms a layer and water cannot flow beneath it, then wudu will not be valid. If it is completely greasy, then wudu will be valid. There should be nothing on the limbs that require washing in wudu. So allow the water to flow on your body parts correctly and thoroughly, making wudu which has a solid form that can be scratched off like a scab can be. So there should be nothing on the limbs that require washing in wudu which has a solid form, which has a solid form that can be scratched off. So in the entire body, there should be nothing on the hands, on the arms, on the face, on the feet that can be scratched off, that comes out like a scab. Because why? Water cannot go beneath that. And this will make your wudu invalid. It will be incomplete. It will not be right and correct. So perhaps, inshallah, Zawajallah, Islamic sisters should, you know, focus on these aspects and make sure, especially when they're going for programs and Islamic sisters get togethers, so they should be careful at that time, for namaz times may come in between. And if they leave the home with all of this stuff here, then what you obtain and what you buy and how you make wudu and how often you use all of this, these matters are extremely important. Maybe perhaps they should be checked thoroughly. You should put this to test to see whether water goes beneath it or not. You know, go through the ingredients and ask the people that you buy it from whether it is water resistant or not. So if it is all of that, then you will, of course, then have a decision to make and know exactly what you are doing, inshallah, azawajal. Another questioner had asked, women are commanded not to run between the two green posts at Safa and Marwa during Sa'i. What is the wisdom behind this, despite the fact that Sayyidatuna Hajra radiallahu anha ran in this place? So when Bibi Hajra radiallahu anha ran for water, why do Islamic sisters who go for Hajj and Umrah in this day and age aren't allowed to run at Safa and Marwa? They wouldn't, you know, run. So the answer to this is, Sayyida Hajra radiallahu anha ran in this manner due to worry and concern. And with the blessings of Allah Almighty, her act of running was kept established afterwards for only men to act upon. With women being not being commanded to run, although I have not read the wisdom behind women being ordered not to run in any book, a point of wisdom regarding veiling easily is understandable. Remember, no order or ruling of Sharia is without meaning or wisdom. Har cheez ka hikmat hai, wisdom hai. There is wisdom and hikmah in everything in Islam. And the greatest of all wisdoms is that the thing has been commanded or prohibited by Allah Azza wa Jalla and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So until the day of Qiyamah, now men will copy the sunnah of Sayyida Hajra radiallahu anha, whereas Islamic sisters will not do so. So the question I had asked with regards to its wisdom, and Amiri Ahl Sunnah had mentioned that you will think for yourself behind this, that if they were to run, then what would happen? This will cause unlawful gazing at such a place. Alhamdulillah, if ever this question ever came to your mind, what a beautiful answer this is. So jab hum wo action waha na kare, jab is tarah ke actions aur amal hum jab waha ja ke nahi karte, to apne mulk ke andar hum kyun kare? Why should we then commit those actions in our country? Why should we practice it here and go and then, you know, harbor those actions during
Sa'i, because evil thoughts may come there as well, and it is important for us to control and protect ourselves. The things that we have just discussed in today's episode and program is extremely necessary and important. It all starts from assumptions, from day one of your marriage, of your nikah. Form the habit to have a discussion in which you make things clear that shaitan will continue trying and striving to, you know, make you all have quarrels and arguments and make you all feel uncomfortable in this relationship of nikah. But remember, Allah Azza wa Jalla has protected you from many other gunah because of your wife. Think of the sacrifices she has made, and she should think of the sacrifices the husband has made. And in this way here, no matter what the situation is, try to remove that worm from the brain, which is the worm of shak and doubts. This worm causes many evil thoughts and assumptions, due to which backbiting and many other doors of evils are opened. So especially when women talk to men and when men talk to women, especially if they are non-mahrams, remember the sharia of Islam. Remember the order of your aqa, your master sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Do not allow the lust of the heart and the filth of the mind to manifest evil thoughts, dear viewers of Madani Channel. Whether it's a man versus the woman or the woman versus the man, in both situations, we should always remember the qanoon and the rules of Islam. And in this way, inshallah, Zawajal, you will definitely find peace, comfort, harmony, tranquility in your relationship. For all those who watch this episode and program, alhamdulillah, may Allah Azzawajalla reward you all abundantly. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all your lawful wishes. Wherever you are, please be safe, stay safe, and make dua for the ummah at large. And now, yes, I finally sign off with the reminding you the maqsad and the mission of this fragrant movement of Quran and Sunnah. And it is, I must strive to reform myself and the people of the entire world, insha'Allah Azza wa Jal. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.